Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Spiegel and Parkins on the score. Hub Arkish, Pro Football Weekly, Shaw Media, Westwood One sideline reporter. He will be on the sidelines for Titans and Patriots. So we will get into that and all of the divisional games and the Bears defensive coordinator story in just a minute with Hub. But we'd like to welcome him in to our previous conversation. Hub, could you change a tire?
Oh, sure.
No problem?
Yeah, no problem.
Your
well, actually, let me rephrase that. It was no problem until they started messing with the jacks. You know, there's so many different jacks and finding the slot on the car or whatever, but I have changed many tires, so I assume I could. I'm sorry, what was the next question?
Well, you know, have you changed your own oil?
I used to. I reached an age where I didn't have to do that anymore. I've done it in the past.
Good
Great
you.
Age.
Yeah, it's a satisfying age to reach. Also, like, the way that they make cars these days and the challenge it is to change your own oil versus the price of just letting somebody else do it, it kind of doesn't make any sense to do.
Right.
Really?
And by the way, we have just exhausted my entire repertoire. I'm not a car guy. I don't know automotive, but the two things that I have done is change tires and oil. So.
Okay. That's all you need to know how to do, pretty much.
Well, I used to, my first car was, I don't think you want to waste a lot of time. I got a 60,
I do.
I got a 61 Impala, and this was in, I think, 70. I paid $25 for it. It had 125,000 miles on it, and I drove it for a year and a half. And that one had a bad starter, and I used to know how to take a screwdriver and bypass the solenoid and start it by lifting the hood. And actually, real quick, my next car, I then went to an Impala wagon because I was getting into breeding golden retrievers at the time, so I had the station wagon. And about a month after I got it, I lost reverse in the transmission, so I drove it for almost a year without reverse.
No way!
Yeah, I was in college. I parked it on hills and stuff.
You had to
like
be
that.
Careful with where you parked, right?
All my buddies in Ann Arbor remember that because I'd be the guy out driving. We'd go out drinking or something, and then we'd get home at 3 in the morning. I'd be looking for a hill.
Oh, man. I need
hard top or convertible on that Impala?
The first one, that was a hard top, and then the next one was an Impala wagon.
See, nice. The ability to, like, use the screwdriver and bypass the starter, you can't do that anymore. Everything's on computers. They don't want you to figure out how to do that stuff anymore, Hub.
Yeah, I'm sure that's true. I mean, now I've got a number that comes with the car. I call an 800 number, you know? So.
All right, let's see. I have golden retriever questions.
Yeah, what's the key to breeding golden retrievers?
We've got two goldens now. We've always had goldens. I bred a couple litters back in college when I had time.
Who didn't?
Yeah, I mean, there's no key. I mean, you know, you learn how to whelp them and the whole thing. But, you know, it was just, I love golden retrievers. We've always had at least two, sometimes three.
Wow, that's very cool. You know, it's a family affair over at Pro Football Weekly. I'm looking at the article from Arthur Arkish, your son, about the excitement level. Why Chicago Bears hiring of new OC Mark Helfrich is a good one. Danny and I are just really excited about it and intrigued by the mix of voices. Before we get to the playoff games, your thoughts on the staff as it's come together so far?
Well, I like what they're doing with the staff. I think they're doing a great job. And guys, this is the benefit to being the first out of the chute, to moving so fast. I don't think they moved too quick on Matt Nagy, but the fact that Ryan identified him, got him hired, they're almost a week in now where they're getting all the best. I mean, Harry, he stands an outstanding hire. Tabor's a good hire. I have mixed emotions about Helfrich, to be honest with you, only because while he's obviously brilliant when it comes to spread, read option, a lot of different things that you want to do, none of that works that well in the NFL. And when you look at, you know, him being a Chip Kelly protege, Chip Kelly didn't work that well in the NFL. But I don't think I'm not worried about it because I don't think that's the reason he was hired. I think what Nagy is saying is, I'm the offensive guy. I'm going to call the plays. What this guy knows about how to develop a quarterback in a run-pass option system is invaluable, and I think that's what he's here for. I think he may be the offensive coordinator, but my guess is he'll be the primary hands-on guy with Mitch Trubisky as well. So in that respect, I think it makes a ton of sense. But I think we've got to figure out how this relationship is going to work between Nagy and Helfrich before we can really understand whether that's a great hire or not.
Well, the first thing is that they're trying to get that incubator with multiple guys who've been quarterbacks in different systems, just like Philly, just like they had in Kansas City, etc. Now they've got that. And the other thing is, I think you're right. I think this is Nagy's offense, and he has added in this extra perspective to help him develop his version of the West Coast offense. It has changed no matter who, whether it's a Shanahan vision or a Gruden vision or a Reed vision or now Nagy. It's like people do their own tweaks to it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, guys, listen, I know this is a hot button and people get nuts, but it's a simple fact that Alex Smith is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. You can love him or hate him, but you look at the numbers and the production. He's one of the, and the wins and losses most important. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. He's not an elite quarterback. He's not an elite passer. But when you look at the comp for Mitch Trubisky's his arsenal, his talents, it is Alex Smith with a stronger arm. I mean, he is much closer in style and ability and athleticism to Smith than he's ever going to be to a Brady or a Roethlisberger or a Rivers or a Breeze. And so what they're saying is that we may have the best of both worlds here, but we got to figure out how to use this kid. And these are elements that Helfrich brings from his experience that could be, you know, really invaluable.
That's really interesting to me. You say Alex Smith with a stronger arm. I mean, Alex Smith with a stronger arm isn't Alex Smith, though. Right? Because he thinks so much of what he does is the safe, down, like not down the field. I know this year he was up with down the field throws because of Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. But Alex Smith with a stronger arm, I think then you start talking about guys like Rodgers or Russell Wilson. Like, it's an entirely different conversation.
Well, yeah, but those are two names I didn't use. You know, I was talking about not comparing him to the elite passers, you know, the Bradys and the Roethlisbergers and the Rivers. Rodgers and Wilson are in kind of a unique league of their own, and I hesitate to put that pressure on Trubisky right now. That's what you hope for.
Okay.
But yes, I mean, you're correct. That's why you need a guy like Helfrich, who gets the other half of the equation. I mean, you know, Mike McCarthy's been his own offensive guy from the day he got there. What's been interesting with the development of Russell Wilson is Daryl Bevel just got fired the other day, you know, and he's been the guy. So that's been kind of a different approach. I don't know who Wilson is, to be honest with you. I mean, I know he's a great quarterback, but, you know, you go back to just last year, the running was pretty much non-existent. Now, a lot of that was the leg injuries. Now, he came back this year and he used his legs a lot more. But obviously, the two ideal comps, I mean, if this turns out to be the lottery, then you either want to have another Tom Brady or you want to have another Aaron Rodgers. And the comparison with Trubisky, I think, is going to be closer to stylistically Rodgers than Brady. But I set my sights a little lower. And, you know, Alex Smith is probably the next guy on the rung below Rodgers.
Talking to Hub Arkish here on the Spiegel and Parkin Show. Who is the better defensive coordinator, Vic Fangio or James Betcher?
Well, Vic's better based on wins and losses and experience, but Betcher's right there. And, you know, I think I know what's going on with this conversation. I had heard reports that you know, a couple days ago that he would be a target if they couldn't get Vic. I think that Betcher has not been ruled out as the head coach of the Cardinals, although it doesn't seem likely at this point. I think that if they are able to get Pat Shurmur, that they would probably put a full court press on Betcher, much like the Bears have on Fangio. But they're both really good. My first choice is Vic. There's no question about that. There's an argument for familiarity. And if I was the Cardinals, my first choice would be Betcher. And that's why a lot of this doesn't make a ton of sense. But the issue is, are either one of them, who've both interviewed for their respective jobs, going to not want to stay because they didn't get that job? In that respect, you know, if it's not a trade, but I mean, that in essence is what it would be, it's not the worst thing in the world because they're two of the best in the league right now.
Hey, Hub, you talked to Vic a lot this year. You wrote about him a few times. I've heard you talk about his partner, I think it's his girlfriend, who is still in the Bay Area. Vic has roots in the Bay Area. He's at an age where California is appealing. If there's no California job, Is he interested in a Miami job, an Arizona job? Should Betcher leave? Or, I mean, like, what jobs are out there that Vic might like more than this one?
Yeah, Matt, let me be clear. I talk to him a lot in the press conference setting. I don't have a personal relationship with Vic. I've had a couple one-on-ones with him over 3 years, but you know, we don't have a personal relationship. I think that California was his first choice. Arizona is very close to California and offers similar benefits. The jobs that I think we all suspected or knew were going to be open, and I suspected is the operative word there, are Oakland and San Diego. People assumed that Gus Bradley would jump to go back with Pete Carroll. San Diego is closed now. Gus Bradley is staying. Oakland is closed. Paul Gunther is going there. And so, and this the common thread here is closer to the coast, but also the weather, ability to play golf, you know, 10 or 11 months instead of, although he's not that he's out golfing during the football season. So Arizona is the only one that offers that option. But I don't think, from everything I've heard, read, and the brief conversations, that Arizona is quite as appealing as Oakland or San Diego would have been. Oakland would have been ideal because, you know, he was there in the Bay Area for 4 years and had his best success there. So, you know, I don't think we can ignore the aspect of, you know, I interviewed for the job, too, and didn't get it. Now, you know, I think the Bears are trying to prove to him it's not because they don't respect him, love him, and want him, but you didn't give him the job, you know, and you got to overcome that hurdle. And that's why this Betcher thing becomes interesting, is because he's the next best option, and Betcher and Fangio are in very much the same situations right now.
Hub, you'll be on the sideline for Titans and Patriots. Any chance that's a close game?
Well, there's always a chance. You know, I'm not predicting it. The Patriots are clearly the superior team here, but when you look at what the Patriots have done defensively, they've turned it around in terms of allowing points, but they're a bend but not break. They give up 4.7 yards a carry, and I'm telling you guys, Derrick Henry is a freaking animal. I mean, this, and I say that, you know, complimentarily and lovingly. Please don't take that long, wrong. Just as a football term, I mean, I was stunned by how dominant he was in the second half last week. Kansas City, not particularly good on defense, not as good as New England, but had been better against the run than New England. And so that's the one piece. And then we did see things from Marcus Mariota, and there's you know, it's interesting. This is another guy that is in the category of Rodgers, Wilson, Trubisky in terms of his skill set, and yet he's taken two steps backwards after, you know, really kind of looking like he could be the guy his rookie year. We saw some of that in the second half last Saturday in Kansas City that had been missing most of the season. And so if they can dominate time of possession with Henry, if they can keep the Patriots off the field, if Mariota can make a couple plays and he can get a couple lucky bounces like he did last week, then maybe they don't lose by the 13, because I think that's the question I'm being asked. I don't see them winning the game. The Patriots, for them to get upset at home, you know, by Tennessee in the divisional round would be one of the great upsets in playoff history. I just don't see that happening.
The first time the Steelers and Jags played, Roethlisberger threw five picks. The defense did its job. Bortles was terrible in that game. He was terrible last week against Buffalo, but Fournette was great in that game against the Steelers. Can that happen again? Are the Steelers at all in risk of looking past the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Well, you don't look past anybody in the playoffs, so I don't worry about that. Plus, they've had a week off. They will be focused. They could be a little rusty. But at the end of the day, you know, the Steelers' defense is better than Buffalo's, and Jacksonville can't win this game scoring 10 points. So, you know, Bortles, now he had some games in December, you know, where he looked like he could be a threat. They do have some weapons there, although their best receivers are all on IR. You know, so I think what this comes down to is the best front, well, four or three, you know, five, whatever you want to call it, the best front, the best defensive front in football, best versus the best offensive line in football this year. This is going to be that alone is going to be, to me, worth the price of admission or whatever you want to call it. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be a war in there. The Steelers just have too many weapons for these guys, and the Steelers are going to score 15, 20, 25 points on the best defense in the league. The big question beyond, you know, Bortles for me is Antonio Brown. I know he's back, and I've seen the Instagram videos, but calves are really tricky, and I don't see, if they said that it was partially torn, you don't come back in 4 weeks from a partially torn calf, and so there's a disconnect in that whole report for me. And so if Brown You know, now Brown at 85 or 90% is still going to be pretty good and pretty scary. But if he's only 60 or 70%, then you got to have Martavis Bryant step up or Juju Smith-Schuster. You know, they've got the people who can do it. And so, because Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Boye are the best pair of cornerbacks in the NFL. So this at least is more of a compelling matchup than the Patriot-Titans game because of the quality of those of that Jacksonville defense. But again, I just Pittsburgh's the better team. I can't see them getting upset by Jacksonville in this one, especially knowing that they got spanked by them week five.
Hub, I think the de facto NFC Championship game is this weekend with Saints and Vikings. Who do you like in that one?
Well, I agree with you that either of those teams is capable of winning the Super Bowl and going to the Super Bowl and playing with the AFC team. I think the Vikings are the better football team. They're at home. The wild card here, though, is that they're just not as explosive as New Orleans. And so if these guys get into a slugfest and it's back and forth, you got a better chance of the Saints hitting the big play late. But I'm kind of leaning on the Viking defense here. It's the best defense in football. You saw last week that the Panthers were able to take away Kamara and Ingram, and the Vikings should be able to do that too. And if the Vikings can make the Saints one-dimensional, the Panthers couldn't take advantage of that because their secondary is their soft spot. The Vikings have got two All-Pros in that secondary, and Xavier Rhodes and Harrison Smith, and they're at home. Forget the opener. That was week one before the Saints had found themselves. I think it's going to be a great game, but I just think the Vikings are the class here because of their balance on both sides of the ball.
What is your best golden retriever breeding story?
Real quick, before I get to that, don't count out the Atlanta Falcons, guys. They're playing the best football. They were the most impressive team last weekend. And so I agree with you, Danny. You probably get the NFC champ if you got to go to Minnesota. But that's what I love about this NFC field. I don't have a best, you know, breeding story. I mean, I had goldens coming out of my ears. We had rented.
It doesn't sound like you were breeding them correctly.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of a miracle of life thing that's very different from when you have kids. And I think the stunning thing that people who've never experienced is you don't realize how small they are when they come out, you know, and they actually look like little wet rats. You know, they're little hairless, bald things that are kind of funky looking. It kind of creeped me out the first time. But then they quickly become just the most adorable puppies you've ever seen. And so we had a tough delivery with one I remember, and I didn't know enough about it. I probably shouldn't have been doing what I was doing, but fortunately the puppy made it. It was the runt that turned into a fantastic dog. So
that's awesome.
Thank you, Hub. Safe travels to New England.
I'm not sure what you're thanking me for.
I mean, that's a great story. surviving that puppy, I don't know.
Hey, man, thinking
the time.
Getting to know you, thinking about stuff other than football.
I Googled a 1961 Impala to be sure I knew what it looked like. It
yeah,
great.
Me picturing Hub driving around looking for a hill with the Who blasting in 1970.
Coming home from drinking and driving looking for a hill to park on. Because
I'm sure he was safe.
We weren't as cool with designated drivers in those days, but I was driving because I was the most responsible. I was not
sure.
Not blind drunks.
You were the ambassador to reality.
And the bullets I dodged by never getting caught are a miracle. You know, they're but for the grace of God. But hey, we made it. So, guys, have a great weekend.
Thank you, Hub.
That segment with Hub Arkish brought to you by KFC. KFC's signature pot pie is filled with delicious Kentucky fried chicken and veggies and topped with golden flaky crust, all for just $3.99. KFC is finger licking good.
All right, so.
Got a lot to unpack there.
You got a lot to do. I'm thinking about.
Trubisky is Alex Smith.
Sure. You have never changed a tire. That's from last hour.
And I plan to never change a tire.
Okay, and then I'm wondering who among us has witnessed an animal giving birth in the way that Hub is talking about.
Apparently, Rick Camp's family breeds dogs.
Well, let's talk about it.
So we learned that.
And I witnessed an animal, a different kind of animal giving birth once in my life.
And I want to also know, text line 67011, or from any of us here,
because
we got a lot of things to go deal with here. What is the biggest thing you've been willing to deal with for a car? Because like you maybe couldn't afford to fix it
or get
a new car. I mean, he didn't drive in reverse for a year.
Amazing.
So he only parked on hills. It's incredible. Like I've had like a busted handle. I've needed to go in from the passenger side door before. I've driven some bad cars, but
yeah,
you can't go in reverse. That doesn't seem safe.
I had duct taped heavy duty plastic tarp over a broken window for a couple of weeks until I could scrounge up the dollars to get it fixed.
I held the driver door shut while driving for a couple days before.
Nice. Just really strong left arm. Good exercise?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I had no windshield wipers for a few weeks one time. Remember, that sucked.
Yeah, I had no side view mirror driver's side, too, so it was actually a problem for weeks in my 95 Camry, my first car. Backing out, driving home from high school, just clipped the side of a house. I was like, oh, this is terrible.
Then the rest, just good luck, everybody.
Yeah, it was like one of those driveways that went into the back of the house, so you had to maneuver around.
All right.
It was a whole disaster.
So we got a lot going on here.
We got a lot going on here.
And candlesticks make a nice gift.
Yes, they do. Also, we got NFL picks and Rich Campbell at 11 on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome back in on the Spiegel and Parkins Show and 670 The Score. Talk to Rich Campbell at 11 o'clock. Bruce Levine at noon on baseball happenings with the Cubs convention here. And we'll ask him about all sorts of stuff. And then our celebrity football picker at 12:30 is Olympic hockey player Kendall Coyne, she of Palos Heights. Text coming in at 670-11. A lot of people had cars that they had to do bizarre things to just to keep them going. This guy had a crap ton of zip ties holding the front bumper up. I've seen that before.
This all comes from Hub Arkish needing to park on a hill because he drove a 1961 Impala that did not have the ability to go in reverse.
Yeah, that would be
a year.
Detrimental.
For a year.
I bet there were times he threw it in neutral and like friends had to get out and like push him in reverse just to get out of a situation. This guy says, my key had been stuck in the driver's side door for 5 years. So he's just going through the passenger side every time or somehow opening the back. This one, the top half of my steering wheel snapped off and the wipers didn't work. I dealt with both simultaneously for a year. We were so poor. Picturing him driving with half a steering wheel. Man.
That's horrible.
And then reaching out. I had the wipers not working thing where like you just keep a towel handy and you're just reaching your hand out there and just kind of trying to wipe your windshield down.
Like Jake and the Blues Brothers when the oil goes up onto the car window.
I had three broken doors in my 88 Volvo. The only door that would open was the driver's side door. So everyone I had in my car had to go through the driver's side door, even if they were going to be in the back seat. I drove it like that for 5 months when I was a teenager. I like that image of everybody climbing in through the driver's side.
That's amazing. You'll like this one, too. Someone keyed the word jackass onto my car, and I haven't fixed it yet. I can afford to. I just don't really care. Jack is on one door. Ass is on the other.
He doesn't care.
Doesn't care.
He's comfortable
in
his own skin and his own car. You jackass.
That's right. That's right. Stories are endearing, though, right? Makes you appreciate when you get a car that has, like, Bluetooth or you get a car with, like heated seats.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. You feel like you're a king.
I do feel like I'm a king. Like, when I'm driving the Santa Fe Sport from our good friends at Hyundai who sponsored the studio. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, and that thing is loaded up with everything I could ever imagine having in a car, I do indeed flash back to days of yore.
Does that make us more likable, Jay Zawoski, as you mimic us just
making it rain
money bags over here?
That was a smooth transition, Spiegel. I loved it.
Thank you, Hyundai.
By the way, heated seats. I left mine on in the summer. Like, God, why am I so hot? I must have set something on the button. Like, good Lord. I got the worst swamp ass of all time. I'm like, oh, the seat heater's on and it's 90 degrees.
You ever have a car where the heater was broken? I remember one time me and my brother were driving from Jersey back to Chicago, and we pulled into the sunlight. Like, the sun came out, and we got a lot warmer, and we're like, oh, yeah, I guess the heater's broken.
Yeah,
like, hey, you shouldn't get warmer when the sun comes out. It's not the way it's supposed to work.
Worked out nicely for you. Just got to follow that to keep your car warm.
Speaks, I've dealt with the window thing. Was that in the winter for you?
No, thank God.
Oh, yeah, that happened to me.
Yeah.
Oh. I was dumb. For some reason, I rolled down the window during the winter that it wouldn't go back up. There's stuff like a blanket up there, and it's just flying around on the highway like that's doing anything.
Got a tarp. All right, after the update, we'll get some NFL picks on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
What can't Don do? I mean, it's amazing.
Don's going to be in the Super contest next year.
She changes her own oil. Guaranteed.
No question.
What do you know about gassing bananas? You guys can trade roles.
That's insane. God. So, Joe, the celebrities have passed you.
Because of Nagy.
Because of Matt Nagy. Yeah. Yes. So the celebrities are a mere like tenths of a percentage point up in the standings. It's just one tie versus one loss that is separating you guys. And I came in second place last week with a sterling 1-2 record against the spread.
Did you change your picks when you did this segment on Sunday? You didn't do it?
No.
That's a completely different segment.
Yeah.
Who do you love?
Is that what you're about?
It's entirely different, Joe.
With, I thought you would have done
it. Entirely different.
With Dan McNeil? It's a completely different thing.
Dan McNeil, by the way, will be on with Tim Doyle this Sunday after NFL football. No, not me.
Okay.
I'm done. I came in one Sunday. One Sunday.
You nailed it, though.
Thank you so much.
Hot Dan on Dan action.
All right. Since we know that Speaks hasn't prepared anything yet, Speaks. Whom do you prefer?
Singing to myself to give myself a little more time. I prefer the New Orleans Saints plus the 5. I don't know if they'll win outright. I hope they will win outright, but I think they'll at least keep it tight. I have a hard time imagining that one as more than a 5-point spread. So give me New Orleans plus 5. I prefer the under of 41 in Jacksonville and Pittsburgh. I'll give that Jacksonville defense some credit, but I give their offense virtually none. So I prefer the under there. And a third pick would be good at this point.
Gambling.
Spat, get a little help, Spat.
I got nothing, babe.
Okay. I got nothing. Five California team playing.
A sin.
All right. I prefer New England minus 13.5.
There you go.
Because they're good at football.
There you go.
Nailed it.
Yeah, you did. Who should we ask a question
let's
to?
Let's ask the expert. That'll be a good counter to me. Hey, Joe.
Whom do you prefer?
Underdogs 4-0 last week. The books made money on every single game because unders came through in 3 of the 4. We'll see if that continues. I prefer the Eagles getting 3 points at home because, well, they're going to win straight up. But my pick is the Eagles plus 3. This is an anti-Nick Foles line for sure. A lot of disrespect there. On my podcast, Early Odds, I asked Aaron Kessler, bookmaker at the Golden Nugget, what if Carson Wentz was playing? What would this line be? He said Philly minus 6. A 9-point difference between Wentz and Foles. Now, Foles has played well in this league at a time. He was a Pro Bowler. He had a 27-touchdown, 2-interception year. That was a few years back. It was in limited work, though. So unlike Jared Goff, that year he did have a playoff game. I like this Jim Schwartz defense. They're going to get after Matt Ryan. So I prefer the Eagles plus 3. Public is taking the Falcons. On Sunday, I prefer the Jaguars plus 7. We are using the consensus here on Vegas Insider. That is 7, but there's still 7.5s out there. I think there will be 7.5s this weekend, so you definitely want the 7.5. And this is an anti-Blake Bortles line. If you didn't see that performance on Sunday, the line would not be over a touchdown. Steelers, as favorites of 7 or more this year against the spread, they are 2-5.
Wow.
Steelers, last 2 months against the spread, they are 2-6. When Bortles does not throw an interception, like Sunday, he actually didn't, even though he should have. When he doesn't throw an interception, 9 games this year, the Jaguars are 9-0 in those games. I prefer the Jags plus 7. Last game, I agree with Speaks. Saints plus 5.
Right.
I have the least amount of confidence, though, in this game of the three. And I'm totally biased because I have a future ticket on New Orleans, so I know what that is. This is a sharp versus squares game. The sharps are on the Vikings. More tickets are on the Saints, but the line keeps rising and rising on the Minnesota side, so you know where the smart money is. I like what the Saints have. They have the quarterback. They have one of the top cornerbacks in Marshawn Lattimore, but Xavier Rhodes is also one of the top cornerbacks, and I'm worried he's going to shut down Michael Thomas, but I will take the Saints plus 5.
Guess you guys just have a question left for me, then.
Whom do you prefer?
Doesn't make me feel good that I'm against Joe Ostrowski, who definitely is better at this than I am. I have at least gotten good lines, because I've already bet these games, but I'm going against what happened last week, and I'm going with the favorites. So I bet Atlanta at 2.5. I'll take them at 3 here. Nick Foles is awful, and I think that Philly... Here's the thing. So I know that that's a public play.
Yeah.
But Philly, I do think that there is something to... They thought they were going to win the Super Bowl this year. And they know that they can't win the Super Bowl with Nick Foles. So even though they can win this game, I think they know they can't win the Super Bowl. So I don't expect a good performance from them across the board. And I think Atlanta, battle tested from last year, the last quarterback who started at quarterback for Philly the last time they were in the playoffs was Nick Foles in 2013. Yes. It's been 4 years since they were there. Atlanta very tested in these spots. So I have 2.5, but I'll lay the 3 here on these picks. I bet 7. It will go up to 7.5. I'm with you on Pittsburgh. Revenge game for them there. Steelers at home, Heinz Field. I do think the Vikings are going to win. I bet them at 4.5. It's 5 here. I like being on the sharp side of that one. Hmm. I've said Minnesota since the middle of the season is the best team in the NFC. They are rested. They are healthy on their offensive line. They can run the ball. And Case Keenum is just being disrespected. And New Orleans, I think that people are overreacting to that last week. So I got it at 4.5. It's 5. So I'll take bad lines in the picks. I got good lines in my actual bets. We'll see how it goes. But I'm riding with all favorites this all week. Right. Joe Ostrowski.
You know, after Sunday...
I think Patriots cover also, by the way. I think all 4 favorites cover.
My first reaction is those picks I gave last Sunday when the lines came out, and I hated that, but I still stand there, especially in a week where you had all the underdogs go. How often does it go, okay, now you're going to go, what, 7-1, 8-0 in 2 weeks of the playoffs with dogs? You know, that rarely happens.
Right. Joe Ostrowski, the Early Odds Podcast. Thank you very much.
Thank you, fellas.
Appreciate you.
Give you a nugget on Nick Foles, guys, and an interesting stat on that game. Nick Foles is the 11th quarterback since 1998 to start a playoff game after having started 3 games or less during the regular season. So we're talking about a backup, forced in, and then eventually starting the playoff games. Of those 10 quarterbacks who've started a playoff game having started 3 games or less, they went 0-10. Not a single one of them has won their
Connor
game.
Cook flashbacks to last year.
Sure. Yeah. Or Joe Webb for the Vikings 1 year, right? I mean, it's like whoever it might be. Randall Cunningham is the last quarterback in this category to win a game for the Vikings in 97. So, yeah, does not bode well for Foles and those Eagles.
Rich Campbell at 11, Bruce Levine at noon. It's Spiegel and Parkins on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Spiegel and Parkins brought to you by Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Ready for a bad cold and flu season? A cold is a cold, but flu brings fever. Be prepared with the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer, backed by medical professionals everywhere. We've got Rich Campbell on the Bears coaching search and coaching staff coming up at 11 o'clock. Bruce Levine at noon. But a few arbitration numbers are coming in baseball.
Yeah, Justin Wilson and the Cubs agreed to a deal avoiding arbitration. What was it? I think around $4 million for Justin Wilson. Same for Kyle Hendricks, avoiding arbitration, but $4.125 million for Kyle Hendricks this year.
Big raise for him.
That is a massive raise for him. That is life-changing money, don't you think, for a guy?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Was he even at a mill? I don't even know if he was at a mill. I don't think so.
I don't think he was.
I think this is his first time in the million-plus range, and it's the $4 million range. That's pretty tremendous.
It's a nice little come up.
It's a big day.
Yeah. He was last year, 1 year, $760,000.
Yeah, that's a good raise.
It's a nice raise.
$760,000. By the way, that would be a nice number to make as well for any of us.
Of course.
But all in the relative sense.
Yeah, and Kyle Hendricks is still very underpaid.
For what his skill set is at this point.
Yeah, for his skill set, he's tremendously.
But he's young, and this is when they got you. Josh Donaldson is in the final year of being controlled by the Toronto Blue Jays. He's part of that tremendous free agent class next year.
Right, and he never gets talked about as part of the free agent class next year because so many young guys are coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Right, not that Kershaw's that young, but Kershaw, best pitcher, and then obviously Machado and Harper.
Machado and Bryce Harper are the first two position players that get mentioned every time, but oh yeah, Josh Donaldson in there. And the Blue Jays and Josh Donaldson just decided to avoid arbitration and agreed upon a deal where Josh Donaldson will make $23 million. This is the final year of salary control. He will be forced to live for $23 million, and then he can sign a free agent deal.
The vast majority of teams at this point, it's so formulaic that they avoid arbitration, do not have to go through that process of like being in the business of arguing against their own player.
Uh-huh.
So most teams and agents always avoid arbitration. The only bit of intrigue that I've seen on this, and maybe you disagree with it, is Chris Bryant has a chance to actually set some history.
He
is, in terms of a first-year arbitration player, he could be the highest-paid first-year arbitration player, I think, passing Ryan Howard.
Yeah, I think it is Ryan Howard, and if that's the case, that's a long time ago that Ryan Howard set that.
Right.
In baseball terms and inflation terms. So I think that would happen. I mean, really what ends up interesting me the most about these arbitration situations is whether there's any bad feelings or not. You know,
just there like shouldn't be, though. Like there's no reason on either side to let it get there,
because this is the nature of the business and everybody knows what the rules are.
And you're not talking about, and I know this is really easy for me to say, and it doesn't come across that way to any of us who make somewhat normal wages, but in their world, you are generally speaking talking about negligible amounts of dollars in terms of like the real differences.
Mm-hmm.
4.2 million or 4.5 million. You know what I mean? Like 4.7. They normally, because so right. there've been so many examples of these things, it's fairly rare nowadays that you get huge discrepancies between like where they're going to settle. Like, oh, I'm asking for this, you're right. asking for this, we're going to settle in the middle.
I got to check the numbers, how often they even go to arbitration these days.
I don't know.
Because you want to avoid getting there, so you're openly making a case for while they're openly making a case against.
Exactly.
You don't want to deal with that situation, so you just kind of find that middle ground and just get there.
There are some general managers who have never gone to arbitration. Like Dayton Moore has never gone to arbitration with one of his own players. And mm-hmm. It's not like he's a first-year general manager. So the trend is going away from it. That's why these news stories, like I don't even know that they need to be in the – like. Bryant's would be history if he set that record, so that's noteworthy, I suppose, because it's based on the amount of production he's had so early in his yeah. career and that sort of thing. But well, I don't find this to be that noteworthy.
Well, you know, it only is when – I think it's noteworthy that just lifestyle-wise and for our future conversations with Kyle Hendricks, the fact that he just went from 800 grand to 4.125 is newsworthy. That's intriguing to me. The Justin Wilson one, yeah, who cares?
Well, and that's – but that's right? a different conversation.
No, but it's
noteworthy for Kyle Hendricks.
No. But yeah. No, I'm talking about newsworthy, like certain guys as they hit that plateau.
Yeah.
And certainly if guys actually go to the arbitration process and get there, you're like, what are you doing?
Right.
Settle.
Right, of course. No, absolutely. It's the type of thing where for them it's huge, obviously, but they don't – I wouldn't think that many of them stress out over it based on how it goes. Like, and Kyle Hendricks knows that he's going to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
Stay healthy, pitch well. You're still a few years away from free agency. You've only got 3 years in the big leagues. Like, stay healthy. You'll get paid. You'll get the, you know, three comma money eventually.
He's got that two comma money.
This is two
money
comma
now.
Money. Yeah, it's three comma money next time if he stays healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When he gets that $100 million deal.
But it is that different area. I remember when Schwarber had just come up, I saw, who was it? Schwarber, Lackey, and Lester out to eat at Sunda. You ever go to Sunda? Really good sushi place.
Yeah,
Japanese
I've
place.
I've been once.
Yeah, I like Sunda. So I saw them over there, and Kyle was walking around. I'm like, yeah, he's not paying.
You know, who was he with?
Lester and Lackey.
Yeah. Lester's picking up that tab.
Right. Now Hendricks could pick up the tab for some guys.
Yeah, well, I mean, he could pick up the tab for a few people at 760K plus endorsements.
I'm sure it was fine.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was fine. But, like, you know, that kind of protocol of, like, all right, who's doing what here?
But even that, man, like, in that world, like, he still is looked at as underpaid. Like, Hendricks and Lester and Lackey go out. You know, obviously Lackey's not there anymore, but they go out in the offseason at $4 million. He still isn't picking up the tab. It's when you sign those free agent deals and you start getting all that money for one season.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these guys use it as respect. Like, that's the other thing where it's like, I would play, it's a kid's game, I would never have to go to arbitration, I would never go to the highest bidder and all that stuff. This is how a lot of professional athletes judge the respect amongst their peers, how much they get paid compared to other people.
Mm-hmm.
So no one wants to be underpaid, even if they're all exceptionally well paid. Nobody wants to be underpaid for their production. So, you know, it's a big deal for the players involved.
This from Jim in Lockport. The White Sox have not gone to arbitration since Keith Foulke. I don't doubt him. Jim's a blogger and
it rarely ever happens.
I hadn't realized that. Like, go back that far. Texter saying three commas would be $1 billion. That'd be a lot of money. That'd be good. That'd be a good amount of money.
I guess that's true. That's true. You don't once you get that nine-figure deal, they don't really add a comma. They just add digits. It's true.
See?
I'm not good at math.
Aren't you glad we got there together?
Yes. We are counting.
When's our pizza coming? Not for a while.
Did we order?
Here.
Oh, yeah, we ordered.
It's not coming until 12:30. This texter got in earlier. How can you guys eat the disgusting, overrated pile of crap that is deep dish pizza? See, sir, you are the kind of brainless hater that beget this conversation to begin with. I used to be you.
Yeah,
early on, sure. I grew up an East Coast pizza snob, and I used to be that guy saying, if I wanted a bowl of cheese, I'd order a bowl of cheese.
Mm,
okay?
If I wanted a lasagna, I'd get a lasagna.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
But then having realized, you know, there's so many different kinds of pan and deep dish, and we've tried three different kinds this week, and we're going for a fourth. And
by healthy show.
By we, I mean me.
Right.
So this will be my fourth different varietal of deep dish.
Frankly,
in
days. I think it's selfish that you've had two varietals of deep dish without us, frankly.
Well, I brought in the Lou's, but nobody wanted it.
Yeah, but you brought in chicken sausage Lou's.
What's right? What? Then there's nothing wrong with that. It was actually quite delicious.
There is something wrong
mushroom,
with it.
Mushroom, onion, and chicken sausage.
There's a chicken sausage. Well, you're getting deep dish.
Because I've had Lou's with regular sausage many, many times, and I find that the regular sausage on Lou's, while it's very good, dominates the flavors.
You're right about that.
Because it's so good.
Yeah. Well,
it's a dominating, it's awesome flavor.
You have Lou's sausage pizza for like a week.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
it just sticks with
it,
you for
it
a long
rules
time.
The roost. So this time I decided to try a different meat product. It could have been, I think they have meatball, you know, I could have done that.
That would have been a good order.
I'm not a huge pepperoni guy.
Pepperoni's
great.
I'm not
and
a big
the,
pepperoni
and their
pe- guy.
The pepperoni on their deep dish, it's not quite as overpowering. There's a better balance to it.
Is there really? I'll give it a shot.
Have you ever
time.
Had Italian beef on a pizza?
I have not.
Yes.
I never did before, and then I had it at Vito and Nick's, and it was incredible.
Yeah, it's great.
Life changer.
It. Yeah, it was really, really good.
Good to know.
Yeah.
I'm glad we talked.
It's just like getting the supersized Diet Coke. Like you're getting chicken. When you have sausage and chicken sausage, why go with chicken sausage?
Because I wanted to taste all the flavors.
Man, it just reeks of healthiness, and we can't have that around here. Okay?
Sorry about that.
Rich Campbell from the Trib on what he's reading on Betcher versus Fangio for Bears defensive coordinator and the direction of the offensive staff. We'll talk some Bears with Rich Campbell next on The Score.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.